Hey everyone, Chris here, your favorite Mediocre Canucks podcaster, and I have a deal exclusive to the listeners of C4. Rocky Mountain Barber Company, a Canadian men's grooming company, has partnered with us to provide you a discount on some of the best men's grooming products on the market. They use fresh, natural ingredients, they provide a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and even offer freebies with every order. I've personally been using their sandalwood shaving cream for well over a year now, and I am blown away by the quality of the product, let alone the quality of the shave. Even my wife has commented on how smooth my face is after. Now, whether you live in Canada, the United States, or even the United Kingdom, Rocky Mountain Barber can get you their quality products without too much trouble. Simply head to rockymountainbarber.ca, take a look at their catalog, and when it comes time to check out, make sure to use the code LIGHTFORCE5. That's LIGHTFORCE with the number 5 to score yourself a 5% discount.
Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round-by-round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you on the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I'm Chris at LightForce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth at E4S03 and Matt Lee at Matt Lee underscore 61. Continuing to remain unfit to podcast is Adam O'Bonnell Carter at Adam FOC. And we're not entirely sure how long Matt will be here for the main show, though.
Mm-hmm. But he is him now.
Yeah, I'm here right now. Full disclosure, I wish there was like a low quality setting on our platform right now so I could like do something to at least be here in parts to lower the bandwidth. But
If you turned your video off, that might do the trick.
But and deprive you both of seeing my beautiful face.
And well, making faces at us constantly.
Yeah, so I was going to point out, like, we start the show and you got your tongue out, you're showing us the fade in your hair, like.
Oh, I was just looking at my hair and I was like, damn, I need a haircut soon. Look, we're in the middle of a pandemic, you guys, and I need to help you guys achieve some semblance of a normal life by seeing my beautiful face like you used to do every Monday night. And
what
I am waiting for the day when we can gather in a small space at the Vancouver Public Library and have droplets everywhere and not have to worry. Well,
okay, but I was actually thinking about this. Do you think that they'll reopen those types of places?
Well, I think we would have to be in a good place, like either vaccine-wise or something else, because that would be like the biggest vector of disease ever. Those hot boxes.
Right. I'm not going to look. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, even with a vaccine, this has now opened up the sort of world's eye to places such as the hot box being a vector of transmission. So it's more than just sort of COVID-19. Now we're talking about the simple flu or the common cold and how people are going to interpret. I'm going to lock myself into a box with people and like, I genuinely wonder if we'll see places like this or if they'll have to be redone.
Well, I mean, because of all the precautions everyone's taking because of COVID, flu rates are way down. Oh, everyone's getting way less sick. So I do think that even once we move beyond COVID, there's some elements that won't go away. I think people will be more cautious with their hygiene and stuff like that.
But that's why
on a go forward.
That's where I'm going. It's the expectations people will also have, right? Like the type of cleaning that's taking place, putting HEPA filters into the hot box at the Vancouver Public Library or whatever, right? Like,
I was going to say that, like, you think about it, it's pretty disgusting that we were allowed to be in the hot box and there were no sanitizing wipes being provided whatsoever. Like, all sharing the keyboard. We're all sharing the chairs around there.
Just, I mean, disgusting. What was that, beginning of March? We were, like, way up in each other's business.
Yeah. And but that's the thing, is not only were we up in each other's business, we were racing into the hot box like minutes after someone else vacated it. And
yeah, and you know, there's so much carpet there because they're trying to provide the best acoustics, but
the door was kept open to even like ventilate, like
You know what? Like, I'm not gonna lie, in the future when we are allowed to gather again and exchange droplets as we record our podcast magic, it's gonna be a little uncomfortable at first being amongst you humans, and not feeling at least a little PTSD or something, because COVID has changed how we approach germs and being in hot boxes, being next to Chris, being next to Faber's beard when he's in the hot box with us.
I was going to say, when you and Adam are together, just climbing on top of each other. Night, though. Yeah.
Will we ever use that tiny hot box ever again? The one where we would stuff two of us? The tiny one?
No, I can't. Like,
depends on who it's with.
Well, no, I'm thinking the last time I was in the tiny one, I think it was Anna and I. And at one point, I think we were pretty much hugging each other, trying to, like, close the door, and
this is the problem when Chris is HR. But
okay, well, would you rather be hugging me or Matt?
I think she knows the answer to that question.
I'm gonna keep the answer to that question myself, but I'll say it's Sophie's choice.
There's no good answer to that question.
No. We know it isn't Adam, because
the Polat is immunocompromised, so I hope that Matt is very careful with Adam.
Oh, I'm very gentle. A gentle lover.
Let's move on.
Speaking of potentially seeing Adam, we've got a holiday live show coming up. So this episode that you're listening to is normal, but then 2 weeks from now, on December 21st, instead of recording an episode for December 22nd, we will be broadcasting live on C4 YouTube and having a live show, getting our listeners involved, 7 p.m. Pacific. There will be drinks or beverages of some sort. There'll be guests or a guest. We're not entirely sure.
You need to provide your own.
BYOB. But yeah, it's C4 YouTube. I tell you, it's like youtube.com/C4podcast or something like that. But YouTube makes it makes us require 100 people to subscribe to our channel before we can actually get a nice link.
Oh boy. Do I not subscribe to our channel? I better do that right now, eh?
I mean, I don't think I do.
Well, then
what is our YouTube account called?
No, Matt, don't touch your internet. Don't.
Yeah, don't go to YouTube right now. But that's the thing I was saying, is I can't tell you what it is. I can't give you a link because YouTube requires us to have 100 people subscribe, click that subscribe button on the channel before you can go and get like a custom link. So I've linked it in, it's linked in C4 Discord, which you can easily get to by going to discord.io/C4podcast. And then in turn, when you go and join C4 Discord there. And the C4 Twitter account has tweeted it. I put it up on Facebook. There's an event. You can actually click on the event. You got your hand up there, Matt?
Yeah, I do. I have a question, but I'll wait till you're done.
Yes, yes. What is your question?
Thank you. So if I subscribe to the YouTube account, I'm doing my part to help us get to 100, correct?
Yes. Yes.
What is stopping me from creating a million YouTube accounts and just following those?
Nothing but time. If you want to do that for us.
And your terrible internet.
You know, well, in theory, he just needs to create that many like Gmail accounts. Because I think Gmail is what's required to get the YouTube account.
Yeah, because they tied them together now, don't they? So
yeah, so I mean, if you were to go and create, you know, 90 some odd accounts, Matt, and do your part, or, you know, maybe you do half and Adam does the other half, have at it.
Well, to quote Starship Troopers, I'm doing my part.
Do you want to learn more? This episode, we are going to be talking a little bit about what's going on in Vancouver Canucks land. There is news-ish. Everyone else has probably talked about it, so why not us? See if there's actually going to be hockey coming back, at least in the NHL. We've got World Juniors possibly taking place. Who knows what else might be happening. And there was a picture of a bunch of hockey players wearing Canucks colors today. So all that and more coming up on the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. If you tuned into Instead of the Anthems, which again is our patron-only pre-show that we air before we record the main show, we talked about anthems. It's been a while since I think we've talked about anthems on the main show, and I don't think anyone probably would have been talking about anthems as far as the NHL is concerned until Mark Donnelly, the now former Vancouver Canucks anthem singer, decided to go and line up a gig to sing at a rally downtown in Vancouver this past weekend for, at best, an anti-mask group. Although someone might say positively, pro-rights. I'm sorry. Pro-rights.
That's nonsense. You have rights in so much as they don't infringe on other people's. So, like when the pro-free speech people, and I'm using air quotes here, start going on, people have the right to free speech, but they have to face consequences for that. And if their right to free speech infringes on other people's rights to safe personhood and liberty, then that's hate speech.
Well, see, and that's the thing. In Canada, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not guarantee your right to free speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nonsense.
Right? It guarantees that you have the right and freedom of expression within the confines of what is considered reasonable. And ultimately, you know, things such as hate speech and whatnot are not considered reasonable.
And much in the same way, you can chant freedom all you want, but the virus doesn't care about freedom.
No, but okay. So, you know, let's sort of talk about why we're talking about this. Mark Donnelly has had some views that may go against what might be perceived as the norm. I'm dancing around this because I am trying to be reasonable when, quite frankly, would much rather not be. And he signed up to sing, you know, O Canada at this anti-mask rally, led by a guy who recently violated the quarantine law coming back to Canada from a flat earth conference. If that doesn't tell you how things went, I don't know how better to set this one up.
I mean, we'll be honest. And I think there's an article by a friend of the show, Rob Williams, much to this effect today. He wasn't the main anthem singer anymore anyway.
No.
Like, who did Canucks turn to in the playoffs? Mary Huey. Like, she's been a big singer, like big part of the, I would say, the main Canucks anthem singer for a while now. Arielle Tulio's also done a bunch of them.
Yeah, Arielle, yeah.
She's been great. So, yeah. Sure, he's a part of Canucks history, but like his views, they belong there, maybe.
Yeah, and, you know, the Vancouver Canucks were trying to find ways to maybe phase him out, but Mark Donnelly found a way to make that happen quick. So how did this all occur? Well, news breaks that Mark Donnelly is singing the anthem at this anti-mask rally here in Vancouver this past weekend. Reporters reach out to him, ask him for his for some comments in a conversation. He was asked, you know, like maybe it was an agent of his signed him up for the gig. Right, there's the possibility that that could happen, and somehow he didn't know what he was getting into. But no, he totally knew what he was getting into. He had signed up for it. And after, like, Canucks Twitter goes, like, completely crazy, Francesco Aquilini weighs in on Twitter to tell the Vancouver Sun to update the article to former Canucks anthem singer.
It was a great zing from Frankie, no?
No, I was going to say, who would have thought Frankie had it in him?
I was going to say, in a year of 2020, which has been so bizarre, top to bottom, it was Francesco Aquilini who united all Canucks fans in the end.
Well, so he united a vast majority. As I ended up learning from Chris Thorne, if you went down into the replies, not everyone was united. Though, replied to him, I'm like, the further you go down in the replies, the flatter the earth becomes. So there might be a correlation there between who was
supporting
Mark.
Yeah, the narrow that viewpoint too. Yeah.
But in what we would, as C4 Discord know as, and C4 Podcast know as Canucks Twitter, Team Tank, Team Playoffs were united by Frankie.
Yeah. It was a nice moment, I have to say. Another consequence of that that I didn't see coming was the next day over in the UK, a football writer. For Sunderland, who like is a team that's really fallen on hard times over the last few years. Watch Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix if you want to find out about that. But yeah, he's called Mark Donnelly. Former Canucks Anthem singer Mark Donnelly does not have Twitter. So people just found the first Mark Donnelly they could and just directed their vent towards him. And he got, that full frontal, completely baffled by it, I'm sure. But
yeah, I think he's at Mark Donnelly _ or something like that on Twitter.
Because he has a tick. They were just like, this must be the right guy.
Yeah.
He
had good fun with it, though. I mean, he's like, oh, it appears that an opera singer for a Canadian or an opera singer that does Canadian sports anthems may have got himself into a little bit of trouble. I don't believe he said it that way. I think it was more English slang for.
Yeah, stuff. I actually have one of my Twitter friends is an Australian basketball writer, and how I came into contact with him is that he has the same name as the former Australian test captain who also got himself into a bit of bother a couple of years ago. And because he also has a tick and his Twitter name doesn't necessarily indicate that he's not a cricketer, even though his profile picture does and his bio does. Yeah, he got a lot of interesting tweets during that time too. And he handled the whole thing with great humor too. So it was an interesting turn of events.
The obvious solution here is more Marie, more Aria, more others. But like, I think the collective feeling is Marie Huey is the next anthem singer for the Vancouver Canucks. At least if they're going to have it by committee, she's the one they roll out for, you know, Hockey Night in Canada on Saturdays and Hockey Day in Canada or the bigger premier events, right?
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of Marie, did you guys see the zings that Marie was giving as well on Twitter?
Totally.
Getting that words right and actually singing.
Staying on her feet when she's skating as well or something to that effect. And sorry, I can't remember the exact wording, but.
Yeah, no, she was definitely, getting her.
She was getting the kicks in, for sure.
Yeah, Clay Hu was even getting in on. Now, Clay and Marie are friends, and Clay's normally, he's pretty even key. Like, I'm not trying to link him to anything, but like Clay generally is balanced. Even Clay was getting a zing in.
So. Yeah. On the topic of who's next, so to speak, I'm sure there will be like some sort of a process that will be put into place before they eventually land on someone who's their more permanent singer. But of course, Marie being the most prominent one, I guess, of late, the 1B, if you will, to then Donnelly's 1A, she's probably first in the next in line, I guess, so to speak. So I think it's great. I think it's great to see, first of all, like more people and more faces getting an opportunity. And without getting into too much detail, it seems pretty obvious that certain voices were getting tuned out lately as a result. So it was time for a change anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do what the Vancouver Canadians have done in years past. They actually have auditions. Anthem singer.
Like, if we're talking about, like, why not have, that might be a great PR exercise just to have a audition for an anthem singer for one night.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it. If the Canucks really wanted to make this fun, they would make like a bracket and let the fans sort of like vote and engage with the fans a little bit.
Canucks Idol?
Well, yeah. I mean, while we wait for real hockey, that's could be completely online content.
So, I mean, if you're looking for something fun, I mean, not all of us can get on a helicopter and fly to a frozen pond to play pickup hockey.
I know.
So.
So,
Before we take a quick break here and talk actually about hockey in general, Finn, the mascot, or at least the person that plays inside the mascot, no longer a full-time employee of the Vancouver Canucks, ended up being one of the December cuts. And we've talked a little bit about it on the show in the past that there have been a number of non-hockey operations staff that have unfortunately been laid off, let go. So that broke. PJ dropped it like Friday night. Late. In fairness to PJ, there was a huge story with Mark Donnelly going on, but then people are like, oh my God, are the Canucks getting rid of Finn? Like, it was interpreted as there was going to be a different mascot, but no, it was the person inside of the.
Yeah, which I think is it's a shame. Obviously, these are really tricky times economically for everyone. But I do think it's interesting the amount of cuts that have to do with not the hockey side but the character of the organization in a time where Canucks are trying to make them a name for themselves as having a better social media presence, just a like something different, and they're kind of we're getting left behind a bit, so it's just you kind of feel like it's a step back in that regard.
Yeah,
but maybe it's just 2020 reality, and maybe there's space for all these people to, you know, get their jobs back. We'll see.
And that's the hope. I mean, there have been a number of people who have unfortunately lost their job through arguably no fault of their own. It's just how teams such as the Vancouver Canucks operating. This is happening in other professional sports operations around the world, around North America. These are gate-driven teams that, or even whether or not gate-driven, are seeing a significant drop in revenue, forecasted revenue. Like, you think the NHL's probably running their operating revenue based on a season that runs through, I would think, mid-year, if not mid-year, maybe end of summer. So it's not like they could have forecasted for the pandemic in that type of budget. And as a result, they've now found a loss. It's just it's a tough spot to be in. So, so we're going to take ourselves a short break here. You'll see the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
It seems that the NHL, at a high level, has decided that should a season occur for 2021 or 2020-2021, it's hard to sort of refer to how seasons are right now because of how they're operating. But the NHL is essentially telling the PA that, yeah, you know, things are pretty bad. So we'd like to go and, you know, negotiate some concessions with you. The NHLPA is like, didn't we already do that to resume the play of hockey? In fact, we have an agreement with you that extended a collective agreement for a number of years. And for one reason or another, the NHL has decided, no, that was like only for this, not for that. And the two are at loggerheads. I understand they've been talking about other things, but right now the main sticking point is financial in nature. And it leads me to ask this question. Is the NHL done until a vaccine shows up?
No, I don't think so. I think that there will be a deal that gets done because there is too much potential money on the table for them not to get a deal done. I think the NHL clearly wants to wait this out as long as possible in order to maximize the chances that they can have to get at least some fans in the building. But they certainly don't want to lose the season over quote unquote renegotiations.
Yeah, I would agree with Matt there that I don't think, as much as it's a gate driven league, I don't think they're waiting on a vaccine to get started, because there's just so many unknowns with that. And as far as we've seen, at least the Canadian government isn't keen to give priority or exemptions to sports people. So I don't think there's any guarantee that athletes would be anywhere near the front of the queue for vaccines, for example. But yeah, I think there's too many unknowns for them to be waiting on a vaccine.
Well, and I guess maybe to rephrase the question, it's not so much that the vaccine and the mechanism of allowing fans back in the stadiums is the impetus to what the league wants to have. It's that you have an NHL organization thinking that they can go back to the players and renegotiate a deal that was recently renegotiated. Like, if my understanding is correct, the NHL is continuing to try to, get the terms of their agreement in their own favor. And I talked about it in Super Discord, how this has been an ongoing thing since arguably the NHL broke the NHLPA in the last work stoppage. And that was where the NHL outlasted players, and a group of players led by Trevor Linden ultimately went against Bob Goodenow and signed the deal. And I think the NHL has realized that they have maybe a stronger resolution than a collective group of players happens to be. Now, fast forward to where we are today. Donald Fehr, he ain't messing around. Like, he's already getting on the front of it, saying that if the NHL wants to go and declare force majeure, which arguably that's what the pandemic is, well, they've already tried that. We've renegotiated with them. We have a deal, and now they're going to go against that. Yeah, we'll see you in court.
Well, yeah, I think that's the issue. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and I want to stress this, and since we have had a real lawyer on the podcast previously, take this all with a pinch of salt. But if this was a one-on-one and one employee had agreed to go back into work under the conditions that they agreed to return to play in the summer, and the conditions that they kind of agreed upon weren't exactly met, I think there were a lot of disappointments in terms of what the bubble actually provided for. So you could agree that they, signed that contract that was not provided in good faith. So the fact that the league are continually trying to agree to something and then go back on their word, 6 months later, it's just, I don't understand how the players are meant to trust them. Why would the NHLPA want to give any inches on this? And I don't think Don Fehr is that kind of person.
Well, no, he ain't messing around. The thing about how the NHL went about this, the resumption and the return to play, there was an agreement and it was connected to an MOU that then extended the CBA and added some additional terms and language to it. But functionally, the belief was, not only are we going back, we've got the stability we need to operate during uncertain times, a move forward. The NHL is now saying, these times are actually much more uncertain than we even expected when we returned to play. It's going to take a while. As a result, we need to renegotiate. I'm not sure, obviously, where the players stand, but I kind of think that the players would be reasonable in regards to what they'd be remunerated for a shortened season. Like, if our contract is X and we play this much over the course of the season, we get a prorated amount. Now, that might, maybe that's the sticking point. The league says, we want to give you a per game, whereas the NHLPA might be saying, well, no, because you give us per game and then you get 16 teams in a playoff where they're not paid to play.
Yeah, and you're also dealing with the fact that what conditions will they be playing under? Because going for a one-off tournament under very restrictive hub conditions is one thing, but playing an entire season where you spend, you know, months away from your family at a time, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Which gets us to the next thought. If the NHL were to resume, is it going to be in a bubble format? Like, not maybe two bubbles like we saw with the resume to play this past season, but potentially multiple bubbles. Like, like there's been talk about a Canada like division.
Regional hubs, I guess, would be the term. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's been the discussion for a couple of weeks now, and we haven't seen anything official lately, but there's talks about being a Canadian bubble and three American bubbles consisting of various divisions. So it's a temporary realignment, but details have been pretty sketchy for the last couple of weeks because it seems like both sides are still trying to figure out the financial aspect of it. But from what I've been hearing, it sounds like there's no way the season starts January 1st. January 15th seems pretty ambitious at this point, and probably earlier February is more realistic.
Right. And the thing is, every league that is operating in a non-bubble format is having huge problems. NFL has had huge problems with COVID. I know.
So Baltimore had three different strains identified in their practice facility.
And didn't one team have to play? They had three quarterbacks taken out.
Denver Broncos. Yeah. They had four. But yeah, your point is quite valid.
And in terms of like football, international football's bringing a ton of cases because it's crazy. They're still playing international football. Cricket, they've like loosened the bubble even just the smallest amount, and they've had to call off a series in South Africa. So it just shows that we're not at a stage COVID wise where it's going to work in any kind of open format. There's going to be
the state of Florida who'd be like, yeah, no problem, put people in that building, it's all good.
Yeah,
NHL's already excited about having the Florida bubble.
Well, actually, if we think about the regional bubbles, though, let's say Canada is a bubble. The amount of travel a Canucks team has to, you know, endure to get to a Canadiens matchup and vice versa is nothing like the Northeast bubble will be, where you have New York, New Jersey, Buffalo.
I know, you just get on a train to some of them.
Yeah, like it's
for an hour.
It's so weird. Like I can't see how they will functionally make a Canada bubble work. And then if you were to say, well, then do they split this up? So you've got seven teams.
Which, like would you go 4-3? I mean, the Jets are just in an awkward distance, aren't they? They're not near to anyone.
Well, we're playing with straws here because that's all we're given. Like, there's absolutely no insight as to what's happening. And I mean, it makes sense. The NHL is currently talking to players as to how this experience will be. And the players are probably also saying, well, we don't like this, or we would prefer not that. Like, if you're an NHL player, are you psyched to be going down to a Florida game where there's potentially people in that building? Again, you're some distance away from them, but like, there are so many vectors of transmission that are starting to be introduced. Mm-hmm. And just because, you know, the Canadian government is not allowing sort of travel between the two countries taking place, it's not like the virus stops at the border.
Right? No.
It's the purpose of travel is going to introduce the possibility of greater transmission.
But yeah, at the same time, I just don't know what other options there are, because the locations of the Canadian teams are not helpful at all.
No,
really.
Well, we're a big country.
We are very close to the US border, and we have a bunch of teams comparatively on our doorstep compared to the Canadian teams that are very far away from us. But again, if travel's that restricted, I don't know if there's another option. I guess the other option is you travel down and you just move through hubs and play mini tournaments, I guess, all the time.
Well, Major League Soccer had the Canadian teams head down to the U.S. to finish their season. Vancouver played out of Portland.
Right.
Let's not to say the NHL doesn't entertain an idea like that.
Two Canadian teams. Is that right?
Three.
Three.
Yeah. And again, you're right. The much different when it comes to the representative teams that are involved here. But
and they're not the powerhouses of the league the way that Toronto really is.
Toronto was a powerhouse in the MLS. Okay. But yeah, I know what you're saying. NHL season up in the air. Mm-hmm. What is maybe or maybe not up in the air? World Juniors. I think it's happening. But Team Canada, I think, is still in quarantine, are they not?
Yes, I think they're waiting
I think today it was the last day, was it not?
I don't know.
I think Alberta government still has to release them tomorrow.
Depending on when you're listening to the podcast or yesterday. Yeah,
right. Today. So apparently Monday night. So you will know by the time you listen to this whether Team Canada is released or not. But you still have the whole thing of getting 10 teams
into
Edmonton. There's apparently a 7-day period, which starts tomorrow, where if you get any negative tests, you're gone.
You mean positive.
Yeah, positive test, sorry. Which is bad news, which is negative. Yeah, you're gone. And then what if we see just teams, like rosters just getting smaller and smaller to the point that we have just less than six players on each roster to play.
Yeah. We're not even considering provincially, we're in BC. We're in a tough spot. Alberta's in a tough spot. Was it last week? The Alberta government was asking the federal government for potential assistance in setting up field hospitals with the Canadian military as a just in case measure. Like there's a strain that already exists within their healthcare system.
I mean, which province isn't in a tough spot though?
Well, no, and Atlantic, but when we think about the World Juniors coming, you're having to plan for the possibility of a healthcare system under strain that now needs to support this other event. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not talking about testing here. Like the NHL had private testing, World Juniors doing that as well. But there's just all these vectors. You have the fact that yes, if you have a positive test within a certain time frame, your tournament is done. How many players then get locked down because of quarantine issues? There's just so many question marks for this type of event. And, I saw TSN release their World Juniors ad. It's, the most wonderful time of the year. And people read the room. I'm not necessarily as negative to that, but it's so uncertain.
Yeah. And just to underline the fact that they are juniors. So, you're talking about, I know that, very professional and advanced players and all of that, but you are are asking these young players to enter it's pretty scary from a health perspective, and you're asking them to enter this high risk environment. So, yeah.
And by high risk, we're talking about the actual World Junior Tournament. I just want to make it clear. We're not necessarily saying geopolitical, like Alberta or Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are talking it from a health perspective, and putting however many young men all in one place.
Yeah. But that's, it's just, you know, one of many questions. I mean, we think about beyond World Juniors, like if a season resumes, you know, what would be, what's the AHL going to get up to? How will they operate? How will, like, the Vancouver Canucks explore the opportunity of having Utica temporarily relocate for the purposes of a pandemic and determine that that wasn't feasible. So now you have players who will arguably have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about in previous years, there's barely enough time to get them via flights between games with call-ups, because also it's not, there's no direct flights between upstate New York and Vancouver. So.
Well, I actually was wondering if we might see how players loaned out to different teams.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm trying to think when it was, if it was pre-Manitoba Moose days, but the Vancouver Canucks actually had it was a gap in their affiliate agreement, and they had half their players on one team and half their players on another. So depending on who got potentially could get called up, there was that sort of dancing taking place.
Do we come to an agreement with a team? I mean, I don't know. Calgary also has their AHL team in the States as well. So,
well, I was just wondering, I was thinking, but you're right, you know, if travel's not in play, if you're in Canada and your team's in US,
there's no US teams with Canadian AHL teams.
No. And you know what? The only way a loan would work is you'd have a handful of players playing for someone like the Manitoba. Your Black Aces, right? Yeah, we're playing for the Manitoba Moose.
Yeah, but that would require a lot of cooperation from.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, an already stretched NHL team in Winnipeg. I don't.
Or the Marlies, or I'm trying to think. What are the AHL teams in Canada? You got Manitoba,
got Toronto. Isn't
St. John's still down there?
Yeah,
I think. Ice Dogs or whatever.
Ice Caps, aren't they?
Ice Caps? Oh, okay. I don't pay close enough attention.
You might be right on Ice Dogs. Ice Caps is the old one. Hmm. Anyway. Yeah, I believe there is still one. Oh, no. The Sea Dogs is in the queue. Anyway. I believe there is one more.
It used to be the Abbotsford Heat back in the day.
Yeah, but they're now the Stockton Heat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. Do you come to an agreement with the Giants and we take Giants players? I mean, that sounds terrifying.
Sign them on. Well, for that to occur, they would have to be on tryout contracts, would they not?
I don't know what either of you are talking about in terms this would just never happen.
Yeah, I know, but I guess the other option is to bloat your squad, is to be able to carry more players on your roster than you would ever need.
But so for that to occur, though, the Vancouver, they would actually have to change the CBA, because the Vancouver Canucks currently are already over the cap. Because it's more than just contract. It's so screwed up right now. And I mean, it is what it is. It's not like this is the only place that we're seeing things happen. It's so hard. We're like reaching around in the dark, grabbing at whatever's out there, and we don't even know what we're ended up catching hold to. Man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So just so you know, that Laval Rocket is now the Habs farm team. Oh. Yeah, because it's Alex Burrow's team, of course.
Assistant coach.
Laval Rockets.
And yes, they used to be St. John's Ice Caps.
Okay.
So I was sort of right, or had weird instincts. We got half an answer between the two of us.
Yeah. Well, I just I remember St. John's had a team because John Scott played for them.
Yeah. I remember that.
All star John Scott.
Oh, those were the days. But yeah, I don't know what the answer is, because you get a couple of injuries and you're stuck. I mean, there was a game during the international break of the football team where they had to gather an Icelandic team from outside of Iceland. They couldn't use any players based in Iceland because of an outbreak. So they had to gather this team of young people.
So that would be like a hockey representation, Team Canada forming like they used to form, where like the old Olympic Team Canada's was all the players that played it that were playing in like Europe and
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, me being eligible to play for Ireland because of my Irish passport.
I'd watch it.
Thanks.
I'd cheer you on.
It was that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd be your biggest supporter. Man, it would be like a reenactment of Rudy.
I mean, I don't even know what sport I would be playing here, but
it doesn't matter. I'd still support you. I'd cheer you on.
Give it a go. Anyway, be
like Rudy, just like Rudy. Great movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it.
You have not? Okay, you got to see Rudy. It's a good movie. Good sports.
Next C4 at the movies. Yeah.
There's lots of sports movies I need to see. I believe the next one lined up is Moneyball. I need to see that.
Moneyball's okay. Moneyball's okay.
I've had good things. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, there isn't an obvious answer to how to solve a problem like injuries. Because you're bound to have, whether it's COVID or you're just, we're going to be playing unusual schedule after a long layoff, maybe not quite the right preparation, depending on how camps end up working. There's going to be more injuries. So,
true.
What do we do about that?
We don't know. Talk about it in another episode in the new year, I guess.
Won't
be on the Christmas special. Matt's going to be 6 sheets to the wind, and you know what happens when he gets the wobbly pops in him.
But maybe we'll just come up with this fantastic idea when we're...
That's true, because sometimes you need liquid inspiration to make some of the best decisions in your life, right?
Yeah, maybe we should suggest that to the NHL and NHLPA for the negotiations.
Lock Gary and Don in a room. Yeah. Someone crack the keg open.
Yeah. Open a bottle of scotch.
Yeah. Anywho, here we are wrapping up a pretty solid episode. We didn't fully tilt. Talked about a number of subjects. And we're getting close to the holidays. As a reminder, December 21st, 7 p.m. Pacific, live show. Tune in. C4 YouTube. I tell you what the YouTube channel is, but we need 100 subscribers. So it's all on Facebook, Twitter, Discord. I've tried to link it everywhere. I should get a C4 TikTok and promote it there.
I got good news, guys. We made it the whole episode with my internet not going completely off the fritz.
Which is, yeah, big deal. I mean, you didn't talk a whole lot, guys, so I was worried you couldn't hear us.
Well, I some of that was in and out, but some of you guys are very pixelated right now, but...
probably better. I'm better in pixel form, I've been told.
I'm told Chris is more attractive in pixelated form.
Yes, HD Chris, not so good.
Yeah, so we've asked a whole lot of questions, not come up with a lot of answers, but that's 2020 for you.
Well, that's also the C4 podcast. Come for the questions, leave without answers.
Come for the questions, leave with even more questions.
We're generating discussion to be continued in Discord and then with Wobbly Pops in 2 weeks' time. Yeah,
that's true. Speaking of C4 Discord, we had quite the conversation about rating Canucks owners, considering there haven't been too many.
I mean, I miss most of that conversation, but I've mentioned before, I met Arthur Griffiths, and he's a delight. So
we should, in the new year, we need to look to get Arthur on the podcast. He'd be a good guy to talk to, especially for me, having I grew up in the area of his family owning and running the team. And when we dove into this conversation, I actually looked back, was it the Griffiths that actually owned the Vancouver Canucks from the get-go? And the answer is no. It was actually a Minnesota businessman named Tom Scallon, who I knew nothing about, that then sold it to Frank Griffiths, who in turn passed it through the family. And
do you know what, actually, which owners we should get on?
From the Vancouver Canucks? No, you have
not necessarily from the Canucks.
You have three choices, one of which I vetoed. So,
we should get on owners of the Colorado Avalanche, the Cronkies, just so I can grill them about what their plan is with Arsenal.
Hey, Anna, make it happen.
We'll be like, we won't ask you about
been returning her messages for weeks.
Colorado Avalanche, we promise.
In theory, I could DM Francesco, right? As we've talked about, he follows me on Twitter. I have no idea why. And that provides me the ability to throw the DM. I guarantee you the moment I do that, blocked.
You're one of the few that he doesn't block.
Yeah, there's also a cricketer that randomly follows me, like a very successful cricketer. But that doesn't mean he answers my DMs. He's still following me.
But you say that is, have you DM'd him?
Once. I DM'd him once, and it was to ask a favor, but he didn't.
Well, that's why.
Provide that favor. But he's still following me for some random reason. But yeah, okay. I don't think that's a real connection that I have.
So we should try to get Arthur on, is what we're saying.
He seems nicer.
2021 goals. But as we look to wrap up our episode here, what final words of wisdom do you have for all of our listeners there, Matt?
Not too much, but I will leave you guys with one last tweet, which came in into our Discord channel from Pierre LeBrun, saying both sides are still targeting January 13th as the start to their season in order to get a 56-game schedule. But even with financials no longer an issue, still some work to be done on protocols, schedule, critical dates, etc., plus subject to NHL Board of Governor and NHLPA Executive Board approval. So leaving the podcast with a little bit more clarity on what we're looking at.
Financials not being an issue is a big help.
Good work translating the acronyms, because I was trying to figure out what BOG was.
Yes, the marsh that they have in New York. It's stinky and loaded with the souls of the Atlanta Thrashers and the...
Oh, yeah.
Well,
all the other defunct teams.
Let's call it what it is. Gary's yes squad. Like, if Gary says yes or no, the Board of Governors follows, which is interesting because in theory, Gary works for the BOG. But
well, it's kind of like the Queen. She just does what she's told to do. They just say.
Well, no, but if we think about the BOG would be Parliament, right? Like in the English concept, and the Queen would be sort of this representative, you know, figurehead state, head of state type thing, but functional power. Gary has all the power. Like you don't have the Queen coming out and saying, I don't think that they should be a country anymore.
Well, that's why I'm saying that the Board of Governors is a monarchy, because technically they're in charge and they could dissolve Parliament, but they never do.
It's a reverse. Yeah. So I was thinking you were calling the BOG as Parliament. Like, but
no.
But I see what you're saying now. Yeah, Gary's Parliament.
So those are my words of wisdom to leave it with.
King Gary.
Yeah.
You've made Gary Bettman the king.
Yeah, the divine right of kings. Scary.
Yeah, me. Please tune into the live show. Hang out with us. Have a good time. Bring a drink or two. Remember, got to bring it yourself. We're not supplying. It's virtual. But, we're going to have a lot of good fun. We might talk hockey. We might not. I don't know. It depends on the guest. Depends on the top of the conversation. Matt may or may not be there, because it really comes down to whether or not you get Mrs. Producer out there with the antenna just right. We've got a solid OTR lined up next week for those who are supporting us on Patreon at the listening in level and above. So make sure to tune in. And we mentioned on IOTA, but for those that were curious, there won't be an IOTA instead of the anthems, the patron only pre-show on December 21st. It's because we're doing one big everyone's invited show. And if for some reason you can't make it to the live show because you have a really good reason, it has to be a really good reason.
Yeah. You have to submit your absences.
I will do my best to produce a podcast episode recapping that. But remember, you're missing out on all the conversation that will be taking place from the viewers, which we'll try our best to interact with. So if you don't get that part, you may be missing the context necessary to understand all of the great jokes that people are providing in chat. So On behalf of the remaining unfit to podcast, maybe out for the live show, Adam Owen, Carter, Adam FOC, Matt Lee at Matt Lee underscore 61, and a Forsyth at A4603, myself, Chris at Lightforce. You've been listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast and CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. By the way, we out.